Very pleased to be joined right now by longtime Northeast Ohio sports talk show host, Les Levine. Les, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
He is the host, of course, of More Sports and Les Levine. You can see it on Channel 23 on Time Warner. 16 years you've been doing this
16
show.
16 years until they dragged the microphone away from me. I had dark hair at one time.
did you at one point on this? You got the silver-haired fox now. So how much fun are you having talking? I know it's not just Browns talk. You're talking all sports, but how enjoyable is it?
Yeah, Vic, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I think that whether we're doing this as a job or not, we probably would be talking sports somewhere along the line, whether
right.
it's at the restaurant, the bar, the barbershop, or whatever. So they throw a microphone and a camera in front of me, and we just go as if I'm talking to my neighbor over the fence.
No, you're right, and there is that part of you that says you do this for a living, you do this as a job, and people laugh at that sometimes. How do you make a living doing this? But the fact of the matter is, you're right. We would do it regardless. It's a fun thing to do. There's the people you engage with, and especially in yours, you take calls. You have guests. I know in studio a lot of media guests who cover the sports teams in this market. But you deal with a lot of passionate people.
Yeah, and I don't know if it would work in another market. It certainly works here because I don't have to tell you the fans here are passionate and more passionate as the teams struggle, and hopefully they'll be rewarded somewhere along the line, hopefully soon.
I was going to say, because the frustration that a lot of fans have, and we know that is very prominent among a lot of Browns fans, obviously, that comes out. They like to vent sometimes,
yeah.
right? They call you to either provide the answers to the problems or just vent.
Vic, if I were the front office of the Browns, I'd be happy to hear. I wouldn't be happy that people are upset, but
yeah.
As long as things are going the way they have been going, I'd certainly rather have it that way than apathy. Apathy
sure.
is the worst you can have.
Apathy is bad. Yeah, no, that's a great point. And someday, like I said, if we're both of us doing this thing and talking about a championship, that would be even more fun.
It would, my thought is the next day the first call out of the box would be, yeah, but can we repeat?
Yeah. No, that's good. Well, Les, let's talk about this too. The Browns as a topic, I'm always curious about this because, again, I know you cover all the major sports teams, but basically all sports in this area. Are they the predominant do the Browns dominate in terms of a topic on the
absolutely.
Show?
Absolutely. Somebody in the offices here sneezes and all of a sudden somebody will comment on it. Yeah, you could go 24/7. You talk about a draft with all the variables and the unknowns and all that stuff, and people are talking about from the day the previous season ends. You can't do that with the Cavaliers, can't do that with the Indians. And
right. Well, guess what? We'll do that on this show, too. We'll talk a little draft. But first, let's talk about free agency, which is the more current topic. And from the Browns standpoint, it's been quiet, obviously, but it's been quiet because a lot of the moves have been internal, starting with the extension of DeQuell Jackson's contract before free agency began, identifying a very important player and extending him. And people I know just sort of like take that as, yeah, well, he's already here. He's not a new face. But to make a move like that, first of all, that's a commitment of dollars. And secondly, I think it's a smart thing to do because you're doing what you can to keep this defense, which has been the strength of your team, as strong, if not stronger.
You know, it's funny. Fans talk about, let's bring in this guy or let's sign that guy. And then you're forgetting you're taking somebody from some other team. When somebody does that for a DeQuell Jackson or somebody along those lines, you're absolutely right. Keeping a guy is almost, when his contract's up, that's almost like signing a free agent.
Yeah, it is. And the same is true with doing a deal with Dimitri Patterson. Again, already here, but a guy who proved himself on a one-year contract that he was worth keeping in that secondary. He might very well be fighting for or taking a starting job opposite Joe Haden next season.
Right. And going back to DeQuell Jackson, here's a guy who was injured for so terrible injuries that he had. And it's almost like a reward. And I think fans sort of like their front offices to show some loyalty the other way. You know, and DeQuell has to show some loyalty, too. You know, he's getting
sure.
the paychecks while he was hurt, and now it's time to pay it back.
And a good guy. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's the other nice thing here is that you're rewarding someone who is an exemplary player, you know, someone for your team that you're proud of to wear the uniform and to be a good presence, I think, on and off the field. That's not a small consideration.
No, it isn't. But some fans would say, you know, I'm tired of nice guys. Let's go find some bad guys and win a championship.
You just want winning
players. Yeah, I remember Erich Barnes back in the 60s
sure.
when he was with the Giants. Everybody hated him. He was a dirty player. We got him. All of a sudden, he was just aggressive.
Yeah. No, your perspective changes if he's with you or the opposition. less in terms of the addition that this team did make, bringing in Frosty Rucker, guy from the Bengals who has been a solid player for them, but a guy who was part of a rotation for that team and really has the opportunity, had his best season statistically, 4 sacks last year for the Bengals, part of a good defense, looks to me like a guy who could factor in and help improve a Browns defensive line that was already pretty good.
Yeah, he's not a big name that a lot of people would recognize, but I think obviously when you got the draft choices you got last year from the defensive line, that's a good start. You got lucky, and I don't want to say it's luck, but fortunate that there were no injuries involved, but injuries are part of the game, so you need somebody like this.
Longtime Northeast Ohio Sports Talk Show host Les Levine is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Les, the other part of it is looking at the rest of the holes and the needs that this team has. A lot of talk was about getting a quarterback. It's looking more and more now like Colt McCoy would stick as the starter. No one is saying or putting that in stone. There's still a draft to be held, and you could still address the position of quarterback there, but I'm not necessarily thinking that the Browns, now that the Robert Griffin III situation, it looks to be settled with Washington taking him after that trade, second overall, and of course Andrew Luck going to the Colts with the top overall pick, that there's another guy that you're really drafting to say, okay, this will be our starter this year. I think it looks more and more like Colt's the guy.
You know, I might be the only guy, a media guy in town, who said that was the right thing to do. And I thought that Tom Heckert and Pat Shermer and Mike Holmgren, you know, they were I wouldn't say raving about Colt McCoy, but they were saying all the right things, whether it was by design that they were hoping to get somebody else and might be still and couldn't get him and then stuck with him, or that was the plan all along. I think they were right in doing that. And I don't think there was enough on the resume of McCoy. I think there were so many questions about the offensive line, the running game, the core of wide receivers. I got the feeling that people started to think he wasn't any good, and I'm not sure why they got that impression. Hmm. You know, maybe the lasting impression is the last interception that he threw against Pittsburgh, and he shouldn't have even been in the game.
Right.
So maybe that's what's sticking with people. I think there's a long way to go with him, and I didn't want to give up as much as they were talking about giving up.
You know, the lasting impression for me, and you definitely bring up that interception and that sticks with you, but you do sort of put that asterisk on it because of when it followed with him suffering the concussion. But earlier in the game, at the start of the game, where this team was attacking and aggressive, and watching what Colt was able to do, the capability there, that stuck with me. I saw it, and I know, again, one moment, one game, but you say to yourself, or I was saying to myself, this could be special if this guy's able to do this on a consistent basis.
You looked at the stats from that game. They weren't all that impressive. But as the game went on, I thought he did a lot of good things there. And those are the teams you got to beat. You got to beat the teams in your own division.
And it's vitally important, to say the least, that he is surrounded by people that can make plays and can bring out the better or the best in him. My judgment on him, like yours, it was difficult because of the limited body of work. But I believe as I look at how this draft is approached, that it's imperative to find people that allow him but allow the offense to do something other than just struggle along and not get in the end zone. And you're going to get more out of, I think, Colt McCoy, but I think you're going to get more out of a lot of players who are already here. Greg Little would be a better player with one or two other receivers who are making plays around him.
Sure, and I think that when you look at McCoy and you rate him on a 1-10 basis at that position, and then you rate the wide receivers, you rate some the running game and all that, I think McCoy probably stacks up as high or higher a 1 out of 10 than some of the other areas. In other words, if there were a lot of problems on this team, I didn't think he was in the top 5 or 6 problems.
Right. No, I think you make a valid point. Again, the other equation here, or the other part of the equation, is offensive line making that better. Tony Pachos gone. No surprise there that they've moved on and want to get a better answer at right tackle. This draft gives them a chance, you think, to do that.
Right, and I think some of the fans had hoped you could address that in free agency, and that still may happen.
Right. It's still early in free agency.
It's still early. some guys may be looking to see where other guys are going and then what opens up there. I think you have the first big splash, and then other guys may fall in place here. But plenty of areas. If Tom Heckert and his guys do the right thing, they can make improvements in a whole bunch of places.
What do you see as far as the running game? This town had such a great attachment, obviously, to Peyton Hillis.
Right.
And it was one magical season, but nonetheless a magical season in 2010. And a lot happened last year, I know, that could sour the feelings of people about him. But what do you see now going forward with regard to what this team already has at the position, and how do you see maybe the position being addressed going forward?
Yeah, well, I think that's a position where you can find guys. I don't know that you need a top draft choice. I don't think you need a super name. I think that there are serviceable guys out there. I think there's questions, though. You lose Hillis. You look at Hardesty. Hopefully the injuries now have taken their course, and maybe at this point he's ready to go. Jackson, I think they still need to shore it up somewhere along the line.
Yeah, via the draft or, again,
something.
Free agency perhaps.
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't go with number four for a running back.
No, that's kind of high for that pick, but I think you can get a dynamic playmaker. I mean, some will argue Trent Richardson, the running back for Alabama, is the guy you should go with there, but you could make arguments – probably equally strong, if not stronger, for Justin Blackman, wide
right.
receiver, and that too may be a bit high for a receiver.
I think this year that may not be too high.
Right.
That's the way I would lean, because you talk about the offense, and the number one thing with the offense, if it's all working the way it's supposed to, is yards after catch. He's the one guy out there that I think can make yards after catch. You're right. I don't think you go with a running back that high. Normally you don't go with a receiver that high. I think this year might be an exception.
Good stuff, Les, and appreciate you stopping by.
My pleasure.
He is Les Levine, a longtime sports talk show host here in Northeast Ohio. You can catch more sports and Les Levine on Channel 23 Time Warner, airs 6 to 7 p.m., actually the same time slot as this show, but, you know, do some multitasking.
They replay it at 11, so you
and
can catch
replay,
it then.
There you go. There you listen to the show and then this show and then replay, watch the replay of that show. But anyway, great stuff, and we'll have you back again.
My pleasure.
He is Les Levine. All right, stick around. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.